Just 1 second now. Okay, 1 sec. Okay, Rabosa, we began yesterday discussing Kavod Shabbos. I want to continue with that discussion. A quick 2 minute review of what we did yesterday. So we saw the Rambam Shita when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, and we saw a number of different approaches that he takes. We saw two levels to the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos according to the Rambam. He says level one is found again in Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, where he says there are three basic halachas that apply to level one, and that's again you have to be wearing tzitzis, yoshe, bekoved rosh, and rechitzas panav yad v'ragov. And then he lists a number of the other dinim of Kavod Shabbos, technical halachos of Kavod Shabbos, and those are again making sure your bed is made, making sure the table is set, making sure that the candles are lit, don't have a big seud on Erev Shabbos. So basically, what emerges is Kavod Shabbos certainly is a mitzvah of Erev Shabbos, not a mitzvah of Shabbos itself. That's point number one. Point number two, as we pointed out yesterday, that when it comes to what Shabbos is all about, the Rambam highlights that tranche number one, that first set of halachos is really built on the idea that Shabbos represents a 24-hour engagement with Shechina, just like Tefillah is a three times a day engagement with Shechina. And as a result, in the same way that we have to have hachanos for Tefillah, you don't just walk into this engagement with Hashem willy-nilly. You have to go have some hachanos for that. So too, when it comes to our din of Shabbos, we have to prepare for that engagement with Shechina. And that's the basic idea. We pointed out then that the Rav Soloveitchik was bothered by a Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes, where there the Gemara identifies that when it comes to Yom Kippur, there's also a din of kavod, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk to highlight the din of kavod that you find by Yom Kippur. Yet there, when the Gemara discusses what is the kavod that you have for Yom Kippur, after all, there's no achila, there's no shtiyah, so what's the nature of the kavod? There's no point in having not even a big meal. We do eat a big meal. Having a table set, we're not having a suda, we're sitting in shul all day long. So what exactly is the kavod of Yom HaKippurim? So there the Gemara says, ksus nekiya, mechabdo b'ksus nekiya. You go ahead and wear nice clothing, and that's how you accomplish your mitzvah of kavod Yom HaKippurim. So Rav Soloveitchik was bothered. Why exactly is the Gemara identifying ksus nekiya? There's so many more fundamental aspects of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, that being, again, that tranche number one of the Rambam, those first three halachos, ksus, the idea of Talis, Yoshe v'Kovid Rosh, and Rechitzas Panav Yad V'Ragav, that's what the Gemara should have mentioned. Why did the Gemara not mention that point? So we started to develop the approach that the Rav goes down, and let's continue that. We started to discuss, again, at the end of yesterday's discussion, we just started identifying that, number one, is a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yontif with respect to the mitzvah of Simcha. When it comes to Yontif, we know there's a mitzvah of V'Samachta Bechagecha. Again, it's a din, according to most, it's a din doraisa. The Rambam says the din doraisa. To have a sense of simcha, men are mesameach an yontif by basar v'yayin, having good food. Women, by having wearing nice clothing. When it comes to children, you give them candy, the Rambam writes. All of that is part of the mitzvah of v'samachta bechagecha. And no coincidence, the Gemara tells us when there's a clash between avelus and simcha, so avelus is going to take a back seat to the national mitzvah of Simcha, because Simcha and Avelos cannot coexist. So Tosas points out, Maseches Moed Katan, Daf Chav Gimel, that when it comes to Shabbos, it seems, perhaps you could argue, does not have a formal mitzvah of Simcha. Why? Because when it comes to Shabbos, we know that there is Avelos on Shabbos. There's Avelos Bitsin on Shabbos. Shabbos is Ola Laminyan Shiva. Shabbos doesn't break Shiva, doesn't break Shloshim, highlighting that perhaps there's a fundamental difference between Shabbos on the one hand and Yom Tov on the other. Yom Tov has this paramount mitzvah v'samachta bechagecha. Shabbos has oneg, but does not have that mitzvah of simcha. And we pointed out, where does the mitzvah of simcha come from? So Rav Soloveitchik cited a Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan Yud Daled Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol, b'chol yemos hashana, the Kohen Gadol all year long, is ki Yisrael baregel damya, is like a Yisrael during the regel. In other words, during the regel is something unique about the Yisrael's relationship with Hashem, and the Kohen Gadol has that relationship with Hashem all year long. And if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, so here the Rambam's formulation is very striking. The Rambam writes, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, Ubayis Yihielo, the Kohen Gadol has a house, And where is that house? Muchan Bamikdash. The Kohen Gadol has a dira, has a house, has a home in the Beis Hamikdash. V'haya nikreis lishkas Kohen Gadol. That place, that dira of the Kohen Gadol was called the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. Ukvodo v'tifarto shiye yoshe Bamikdash kol hayom. And the kavod and the tiferes of the Kohen Gadol is that he'd sit in the Lishka, in the Beis Hamikdash, all day long. V'lo yotze, he'd rarely leave. He might leave, he says, maybe at nighttime when the Beis Hamikdash is closed for business, he'd go home. Osha'a oshtayim, maybe an hour or two, take a little nap or what have you, go home during the daytime. But fundamentally, eino zaz misham. He doesn't leave that place. And from this Rambam, from this din, what emerges is perhaps the reason, the halacha, that a Kohen Gadol has no aninus. A Kohen Gadol has no avelus. What's the reason? It's because the Kohen Gadol is in a perpetual state of being Lifnei Hashem. And the idea of being Lifnei Hashem, being Lifnei Hashem, if I ever black out, I'm coming back, don't worry. Being Lifnei Hashem,
hello.
I'm here. I'm always coming back to you, don't worry.
You locked up by the Kohen Gadol is always...
Lifnei Hashem, right. So the Kohen Gadol is always Lifnei Hashem. And the idea of being Lifnei Hashem is the equivalent, is part and parcel with Besimcha. There's no such thing as being Lifnei Hashem and not being Besimcha. Simcha equals Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And indeed, that's what you find by Yontif. By Yontif, the Torah tells us, V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. The idea of Simchas Yontif is because we find ourselves Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, so we, Klal Yisrael, have that relationship during the Regalim. Because three times a year, we are Ola Regal, we go to the Beis HaMikdash, and we have that stature of being Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. That's true when it comes to the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol, he's in Mikdash pretty much 24-7. Therefore, he has a perpetual state of Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol never has aninus, never has avelus. So there's a notion, again, when we speak about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, really, a big part of that mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is the fact that we are... Okay, sorry, guys. Ramat Beit Shemesh internet during Corona is horrible. Everyone's online. Big problem. Can you hear me? Okay, we're back. Hello?
We're here.
Okay, great. Sorry. Okay. So again, the idea is the Simchas Yontif is a function of being... Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, really sorry. Okay, we're good. Here we go. Okay, now, let's take it one step further.
We're here.
You're here? Okay.
We're here.
Okay, very good. Someone give me that feedback, or else I'm going to get caught up here. Okay, so Soloveitchik wanted to take this one step further. Next step further is as follows. We're going to make a mashal, okay? He developed a mashal, but again, there's two types of hashras hashchina. We just spent a good amount of time yesterday speaking about the unique hashras hashchina of Shabbos, and now we're talking a little bit about the unique hashras hashchina of Yontif. There's a hashras hashchina where we are lifnei Hashem Elokecha by Yontif, and then Shabbos has a different, slightly different type of hashras hashchina, and one more layer of mashal, and then we'll try and put it all together. So we're going to compare for a moment the Kedusha and the nature of the Hashruas HaShchina that you have in a Beis HaKnesses versus the Hashruas HaShchina that you have in the Beis HaMikdash. Because again, these are different types of Hashruas HaShchina. On the one hand, they have a lot in common. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ted Zayin. So the Rambam there speaks about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in contrast to Kedushas Mikdash. For those of you who are in my Gittin Shir, so you'll recall we discussed towards the end of the Zman, we discussed Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. There was an initial Kedusha that was established by Yehoshua when he was Kovesh, the land of Israel. And that was called the Kedusha Rishona. But once we were sent into Golus, once we were cast out, so that Kedusha Rishona was Paka, was lifted. And then Ezra came back and was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael once anew. The Rambam says, when it comes to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kitsha, Kedusha Rishona, Kitsha L'Shaita V'Lola Asid Lavo. It was not a perpetual Kedusha. Once we were sent to Golus, we lost that Kedusha. But says the Rambam, that's all true about Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, however, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas HaMikdash is perpetual. It doesn't disappear. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, we had it, we lost it, it is paka. Kedushas HaMikdash is perpetual. And the Rambam explains why in a very, very famous line. He says, "Lefi shekdushas HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim mipnei Hashchina." That Kedusha is not a function of the fact that we conquered the land, the fact that we settled the land. It's a function of the fact that there was Shechina on Har HaBayis in the Beis HaMikdash. And says the Rambam, v'Shechina eina b'teila. And the Shechina is never batel. It never dissipates. Once it's there in perpetuity. There is no such thing as bitul HaShechina, which is why Bizman HaZeh, Har HaBayis, the Mokam HaMikdash, has real Kedusha, whether you go up to Har HaBayis or not, leaving that Isra aside. But the Makam HaMikdash itself certainly has Kedusha. There's an Isra Kares to go on to the Makam HaMikdash, and that's because of this Rambam. Based on this Rambam, Ha Shechina Eina B'Teila, and the Rambam adds, therefore, even in a state of Churban, even in a state where the Makam HaMikdash is V'Hashimosias Mikdashechem, it's destroyed, nevertheless, B'Kedushasan Hein Omdim. The Kedushas HaMikdash is perpetual. And if you take a look at, for example, the Gemara in the Zemit, same exact Kedusha. Same exact Kedusha. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but same exact Kedusha. And if you look at there's a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, and the Mishnah Maseches Megillah says similarly, when it comes to a Mikdash Ma'at, when it comes to the Beis HaKnesses, this is the Mishnah in Megillah Dav Chav Ches Amid Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, Beis HaKnesses Shecharav. If you have a Beis HaKnesses that has been destroyed, you're not allowed to act in a way of Bizayon in that area. In the Makom HaBeit Knesset, you can't denigrate that area. So therefore, Ein Maspidin Betocho, there cannot be Hespedin there. Ve'ein Mafshilin Betocho Chavolim, you can't run laundry lines or other kinds of strings there. You can't set animal traps there. You have to treat that Makom as Kedusha as well. And he cites the Mishnah cites the very same pasuk that the Rambam cited. V'hashimosi es mikdashechem, that af kishehen shomemim, even when the Beis HaKnesses is destroyed, nevertheless, b'kedushasan omdim, it still has a Kedusha. So whether we're talking about the Mikdash of Yerushalayim or the Mikdash Ma'at, they both have one commonality, is that there is a sense of Kedusha that permeates whether they are standing or not. Again, this is echoed in the Rambam as well. I put on your Marmakomos, Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Tfila. The Rambam writes again that in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMedrash, you have to act with tremendous kavod, tremendous reverence, and you have to make sure it's clean, and you have to make sure it's well lit, etc., etc. And then we're told no Kalas Rosh in a Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash, no joking around, no sicha betela, bekoshi hitiru. They allowed you to drink and eat bekoshi, but to certainly act with a sense of reverence in the Beis HaKnesses, because the Beis HaKnesses fundamentally is our Mikdash Ma'at. So in that sense, Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash are exactly the same. However, there are also some halachic differences. So number one, I just want to point out, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, speaks about a mitzvah asay lira min HaMikdash. There is a mitzvah asay to have yira in the Beis HaMikdash, she'ne'emar u'mikdashi tiro. There's a mitzvah not just of kavod, but you have to stand in the Beis HaMikdash with a real sense of awe, with a sense of reverence, with a sense of mikdashi tiro. That requirement of yira, perhaps we don't find as much in a Beis HaKnesses. And for those of you who are learning the Daf Yomi, you might recall from the very end of Maseches Brachos. So there the Gemara cites some very interesting parallels and halachos, comparison between Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So we'll identify, the Gemara has three different cases. It has a few more, but we'll focus on three. Number one, can you use the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses as a Kapandria as a shortcut. You want to get from one side to the other. You want to get to Harazesim. So you want to cut across the Beis HaMikdash. You want to cut across the shul to get from one side to the other. So the Gemara says very clearly that whether you're talking about a Beis HaMikdash, you're talking about a Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaMikdash, or a Beit Knesset, both have an Isser of Kapandria. You're not allowed to take shortcuts. Good? Good. Okay. That everyone agrees. That's common to both Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash. What about Aaron Goldstein's here? Very good. We have our Chabadnik. Jonathan Malov, Yosef Avram is here. Very good. Are you allowed to spit in a Beis HaKnesses? Jonathan, what do you got? Okay, there are those who have the minute to spit. That is correct. I just wanted to get some student participation. Very good. Okay, so there's a minhag to, the Chabadnikim have a minhag when they say, Aleinu Shehei Mishtachavim Lahevel Varik, they have a minhag to spit. And apparently, it's mutter. You're allowed to spit. That's what it says in the Gemara. To spit in the shul is allowed. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says clearly, this is again the Gemara, the end of Maseches, the last dapim of Maseches Brachos, it tells us not in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're certainly not allowed to spit. So that's another difference. That's one difference la'halacha. Another difference la'halacha, has anyone, I won't embarrass you in public, but if anyone has been to Har HaBayis, if anyone has stepped on Har HaBayis, again, following their local Orthodox rabbis, if you've been to Har HaBayis, you'll know one of the halachas on Har HaBayis is you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. Ni'ilas HaSandal is usur on Har HaBayis, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was standing before the Sneh, had to remove his shoes. So too, when you go to Har HaBayis, you're in the Makom HaShechina, B'kdushasan Hein Omdim, you have to remove leather shoes. You can wear non-leather shoes, you can be barefoot, but leather shoes, Ni'ilas HaSandal is usur. What about in a shul? Can we wear leather shoes in a shul? Of course we can. Of course we can. Yes, yeah, so we have differences lahalacha between Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha Beis HaMikdash demands ubemikdashi tira'u, demands yira. And therefore, not only can you not take a shortcut, no spitting, and no shoes. Beis HaKnesses demands kavod. You have to be respectful, you have to have reverence, but that level of yira that is required, that you don't find in a Beis HaKnesses, and therefore Mikra Din is a heter to spit, and you're allowed to wear shoes. The Gemara discusses whether you can wear a fanny pack, a knapsack in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMikdash, for sure you cannot. You're not allowed to. So what exactly, first is the comment. Today, I would suggest perhaps not to spit in shul, unless it's really your real Chabadnik. The reason that the Gemara allowed it then is because they used to have dirt floors. Today we have tiled floors. We have nice floors. We have nice carpeting. In the old days, we used to... okay, do you hear me? Am I here? Yes? Good?
Yeah.
Okay, gavaldik. In the old days, they used to have dirt floors. So when you spit, you just spit. It gets absorbed into the dirt floor. No big deal. Today, you have tiled floors. It certainly is perhaps more of a problem. But in any event, that's the split that the Gemara makes. So the Gemara asks in Maseches Brachos Daf Samech Gimel, what exactly is the rationale? Why are these things mutter in a shul and usur in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the fundamental difference? And Rava there, Ayin Shal, I'm not going to read you the text because I don't have my Maseches Brachos directly handy, but the Rava writes two critical words, two fundamental words. He says, what's the difference between the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash? What we mentioned yesterday, but I wanted to develop the idea today, and that is that the Beis HaMikdash, we always refer to as the Beis Hashem. That's the Beis Hashem. That's Hashem's house. That's Hashem's palace. For example, we will say, we have psukim, Ach HaShat Meis Hashem, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. The Torah refers to the Beis HaMikdash as the Beis Hashem. And that's what Beis HaMikdash represents. Again, there are a lot of psukim to that effect. I'll just share with you one other as I pull it out. You have the pasuk, for example, Yihi Shalom Bechelek Shalva Be'armonosai. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Palace of Hashem. Leman Achai V'Re'ai Dabarno Shalom Bach Leman Beis Hashem Elokeinu Avakshat Tovlach. So again, many psukim that highlight and identify the Beis HaMikdash as being the Beis Hashem. The Gemara says, when it comes to a shul, the Beis HaKnesses, Amar Rava, the Beis HaKnesses is Ki Beso. It's our house. It's our home. And as such, yes, it's a home that we are assigned and reserved to tefillah, to learning, where we do commune with Hashem. But says Rava, the difference in halacha between the Beis HaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses is the Beis HaKnesses is our private home. It's Ki Beso. It's ours. And Kiviyachol, and this is another Gemara in Maseches Brachos Dav Vav Med Beis. The Gemara there says, again for the Daf Yomi guys, you'll recall, Hashem gets very, very angry. Very angry. When the time for davening comes, it's 7:50 in the morning, time to daven Shachris, and he gets to Shul, and there's no minion yet in Shul. In other words, Hashem is Kiviyachol coming to Shul. He's coming to Shul. Why is he coming to Shul? The answer is because the Beit Knesset is our bias, is Ki Beso. Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, Beis Knesset is Ki Beso. Again, we have to act with kavod, but it's a different level. And therefore, we can understand perhaps some of these halachas. When it comes to a private person's house, will you just willy-nilly, without permission, without anything, just use a private person's house as a shortcut? Absolutely not. And therefore, that's us in a Beit Knesset as well. Again, back in the day when they had dirt floors, would a person spit in his house? The answer is yes. He would spit in his house. Therefore, it's mutter to spit in the shul because it's Ki Beso. What was our third case? Ne'ilas Asanda. Does a person wear shoes in his own house? And therefore, shoes in a Beit Knesset is also permissible. Will a person wear a fanny pack? Will a person wear a knapsack in his house? The answer is yes. Therefore, that Mikra Din will be mutter in a shul as well. The fundamental difference between Beit Knesset and Beis HaMikdash is Beis Knesset is Ki Beso, Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Hashem. And with this in mind, perhaps we can understand, we put this all together. Yes, Isaac, quick question.
Kapandaria.
Again, a person, I might give you permission to use my backyard or my house as a shortcut, but you have to ask permission. In other words, in general, the assumption is I don't want you tramping through my house as a shortcut. I don't want that to happen. And in the same sense, what? Yeah, but the base Knesset is your house, but it's also everyone else's house. And their house mitigates your ability to use it as a shortcut. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else? Will, yeah?
What is it about a person back then that's also true now? That you kind of have
so again, in your today you don't spit in your house because you don't have dirt floors. So that changed. Well, Salvechik did point out, and this he pointed out at La Halacha. This is found in Rav Shechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, which has a lot of the Pesukim in Rav Soloveitchik, that when it comes to, let's say, a snowy day, very, very snowy day, and you're wearing boots. What do you do when you walk into your house when you're wearing boots? It's the first thing you do. What does your mother make you do? If you're lucky, she'll be satisfied with that. She's going to make you take off your shoes and walk in without the boots into the house. So Soloveitchik felt it would be an isser to walk into a shul with muddy boots, with snowy boots, because you would never walk into your house like that. Just because it's not your house, no, it is your house. That's the concept. The Beit Knesset has a kedusha. It has kedusha because of makom tefillah, but its character, its hagdara is Ki Beso. So in light of the foregoing, let's now put it together. So with this in mind, Rav Soloveitchik used this model. Again, I got my right and left hand over here. The right hand is the Beit Knesset. The left hand is the Beis HaMikdash. Analogy. In the same way that we go to shul, but that's our place. And when we daven with a minyan, Bez Hashem, we should all come back to daven with a minyan very soon. But when we daven with a minyan, it's kiviyachol Hashem is joining us in our house. He's visiting us. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, that's his house. So when we go to the Beis HaMikdash, we are going to him. We are visiting him in his house. And as such, now taking that Beis HaKnesses model, Beis HaMikdash model into Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos, as again we alluded to yesterday, now we're developing the idea. Shabbos is really, we stay at home. And we have an engagement with Shechina, a profound engagement with Shechina. But when it comes to that engagement with Shechina, it's Hashem who is coming to us. Like Beit Knesset, Shabbos is like that. Hashem is coming to us. We have to go likras ha-melech to go ahead and greet the Shechina, to welcome the Shechina. We have a mitzvah of Kabbalas Shabbos. That's Shabbos because Hashem is coming to our house, kiviyachol. When it comes to Yontif, Hashem is not coming to us. We are going to Him. we are going to the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, v'samachta b'chagecha, which means lifnei Hashem Elokecha, we are going to His place. Even today, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we are still going to His place. And therefore, argued of Soloveitchik, beautiful idea, is why then when the Gemara discusses, back to Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes, when the Gemara discusses Yom HaKippurim, so what is the kavod of Yom HaKippurim? It's not the big three, because the big three are all about greeting Hashem in our domain. In our domain, we greet Hashem, and that's via Talis, that's via Rechitzas Panav Yad Virago, that's via Yoshev Bekobet Rosh, sitting, anticipating, waiting, Umiyachel Lifnei HaShechina, waiting for the Shechina to arrive. When it comes to Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur is, even though there's no mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, but it's in the category of Yontif. It's Yontif. And as such, we are, in, if you will, going to His domain. And when in His domain, we're not going to wait for Him to come. We're going to Him. And hence, the emphasis in the Gemara on Ksus Nekiyah. Again, this has a few ramifications, lahalacha. Number one is, again, we wear nicer clothing, Rav Soloveitchik said, on Yontif than on Shabbos, because when you're a guest in Hashem's house, that's a bigger kavod, if you will, and therefore we have to wear nicer clothing on Yontif than we do on Shabbos. Since Ethan Kohenteb is here, we have a couple of Sephardim listening, Will Besharim as well, I'm sure there are others, there is an interesting twist here as well. When a Shabbos and Yontif fall out on the same day, Shabbos and Yontif falls out on Shabbos. So let's start with us Ashkenazim. Us Ashkenazim, do we have Kabbalah Shabbos? We don't have Kabbalah Shabbos. We just say Mizmor Shir, but we don't say Lechadodi, no Kabbalah Shabbos. What do the Sfardim do? The Sfardim say a truncated Lechadodi. There's different minhagim. Some say the first two paragraphs, the last two paragraphs, or the first paragraph, the last paragraph, but they say an abridged version. And perhaps that abridged version, that mini Lechadodi, is reflecting this duality. On the one hand, it's Shabbos, so we want to greet the king. On the other hand, we're by the king, we're by the melech, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, perhaps this hybrid, this kind of blending of this Kedushas Shabbos, Kedushas Yontif, by that mixing and a quasi-Kabbalah Shabbos reflecting that idea. Okay, so that was Rav Soloveitchik Shtickl Torah. That's a basic idea of his notion of the differences between, again, the difference between Kedushas Shabbos, Kedushas Yontif. They're both engagements with Shechina. They're both engagements with Shechina, but from a different vantage point. Shabbos Hashem comes to us. Yontif, we go to Hashem. Okay, we're going to move on a little bit. And I want to discuss, get a little more halacha l'maisa oriented, a little bit. And I want to point you to a very, very famous and important Gemara in Maseches Beitza, Daf Tet Zayin. Will, you have a question? Yeah, let me move on, because it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and I want to get to a Rosh Chodesh Nisan point. So, at least by me, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Soon it'll be about Rosh Chodesh Nisan by you as well. So I just want to make one very, very strong point about Rosh Chodesh Nisan in a moment. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Beit HaDaf Tet Zayin and Aleph. It's towards the beginning of the second Perek. And the Gemara there discusses the Tumin Hagim of Shammai and Hillel when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, how they went ahead and navigated Kavod Shabbos. So the Brisa says as follows, Tanya, Amru Alav Al Shammai HaZaken. They used to say about Shammai HaZaken, that kol yamav haya ochel lichvod Shabbos. Every day of the week, all week long, he would eat lichvod Shabbos. How is he eating all week long lichvod Shabbos? As follows. Matzah behema noah. If he found a nice behema Monday, found a nice piece of meat, a nice piece of steak, amar zula Shabbos. He'd say on Monday, this one is for Shabbos, I'm going to save it for Shabbos. Later on in the week, matzah acheres noah heimenu. On Wednesday, he found an even better piece of meat. So what did he do? Maniach es hashnia. He'd take Wednesday's meat and say, that's going to be for Shabbos. The ochel es harishona. And he would eat the meat he had on Monday. He'd eat that on Wednesday. In other words, every day of the week, he's gearing himself to Shabbos. Sees a nice piece of meat, saves it for Shabbos. Later on, he has a nicer piece of meat. So he's going to save that one for Shabbos and eat the first piece of meat. That was the midah of Shammai. In other words, Shammai is focused on the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos starting when? Monday? Who said Monday? You're such an American, not Monday. No, I would say Motzei Shabbos already. Motzei Shabbos Sunday, he's already geared towards Shabbos Kodesh. Everything geared towards 6 more days till Shabbos. No, that was Shammai. Shammai is always everything geared to Shabbos. What was Hillel's midah? Aval Hillel hazaken midah acheres hayelo. Shekol ma'asav, all of his actions l'shem Shammayim. Everything he did was l'shem Shammayim, and then it quotes a pasuk shenemar Baruch Hashem yom yom. What does that mean? He found a nice piece of meat on Monday. What did he do with that meat? He ate it on Monday. Found a nice piece of meat on Tuesday. What did he do with that meat? He ate it on Tuesday. Why? What was his meat? Baruch Hashem yom yom. Hashem is going to take care of me every single day. Hashem is going to take care of me. And the meat of Beis Hillel is a meat of bitachon. Monday, I have to worry about Shabbos. Shabbos, come Wednesday, Thursday, Hashem's got my back. He's going to take care of me. And come Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to have what I need. That was the meat of Hillel. So this is machlokes, really, and if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, which Mitzvah Shem we will, and you look at the Ramban al HaTorah, which I'm going to do right now, the Ramban al HaTorah just makes a very, very fascinating comment. He says, and this again, the Mishnah Berurah echoes, is that when it comes to Shammai is not incorrect. We always pass like Hillel against Shammai, but fundamentally, Shammai is not incorrect. Everything all week long is geared towards Shabbos. Just Hillel says, I have an even more important midah, and that's the midah of bitachon b'Hashem. Of course, all week long, yeah, I fundamentally also agree with Shammai, but there's an overriding midah called bitachon that Hashem is going to take care of me when Shabbos rolls around. Not that Shammai is wrong, but there's an overarching quality. And the Ramban writes about this in the Aseres HaDibros, Parshas Yisro, on the pasuk of Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Again, he has a long development over here, but in the course of that development, he says that in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, we know Zochar means, according to Chazal, it means making Kiddush, Zechira Al HaKos, Bapeh, etc. But the Ramban says there's a Pshuto Shel Mikra over here, and that is a person, there's a mitzvah Zechira. The Pshuto Shel Mikra of Zechira is a person always has to be cognizant, remembering, aware of Shabbos. That Shabbos is the symbol and is the significance of Maisa Bereishis. Hashem is the Borei Olam, and we always have to have that awareness. That's Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And then the Ramban, he quotes this Machlokes, Shammai and Hillel, and then he points out the very famous comment. He says, Uperusha Shahagoyim, when it comes to the Gentiles, Monim Bimei HaShavua, when they count the days of the week, every day gets its own special name. And in fact, the days of the week that the Goyim use are typically come from pagan sources. Sunday is the celebrating the god of the sun. Monday is the moon, and so forth. These are pagan sources. That's what the Umos HaOlam do. And the Kor L'chol Yom Shem Bifnei Atzmo, each day has its own name. Oh, Allah Shemos Hamasharsim, O Shemos Acherim. They have their own name. V'Yisrael. Yisrael is different. When we name the days of the week, and Ara Yom Hazeh, us Israelis, this is how we call the names of the week. V'Yisrael Monim Kol Hayomim L'Shem Shabbos. Every day of the week is identified and is labeled L'Shem Shabbos. Echad B'Shabbos. Sheni B'Shabbos. And, says the Ramban, when you use those names, today, it's Wednesday, now Thursday night. Leil Chamishi, it's Leil Chamishi from Shabbos. And says the Ramban, V'zeo Pshuto Shel Mikra, that is the meaning. One of the aspects, the Kiyum HaMitzvah De'oraisa of Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. By calling the days of the week, as we do in Lashon HaKodesh, Yom Rishon L'Shabbos, Shein L'Shabbos, etc. That is a Kiyum of a Mitzvah De'oraisa of Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Consistent with the view of Shammai that all week long we have a focus on Shabbos. That is this Ramban, a very beautiful Ramban, very worthwhile to look at. It's a long Ramban, but in the same context, I'm going to go backwards a couple of prakim in Sefer Shmos. If you look at Sefer Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis, this was a Kriyas HaTorah that we were supposed to read publicly last Shabbos of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And the Ramban points out over here as well against the Ramban Lashitase, and he quotes the same Ramban. He quotes this Ramban by Zachos Yom Shabbos Akacho. So what does it mean? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. Nisan is the month. It's Rosh Chodashim. It's the first month of the year. Rishon Hu Lochem Lochodshei Hashana. And the Ramban says, again, just like the days of the week, when we refer to the days of the week, we refer to it as Rishon LeShabbos, Shein LeShabbos, Shlishi LeShabbos. Says the Ramban, we don't have any razzle-dazzle names of the months. We don't have these fancy names. By the way, what number month is September? What?
Ninth.
Yet Sept is seven, no? Next month after September is what? October. October. OCT always means what? OCT is 8. What's the next month?
November.
NOV is 9. And December, DEC is always, is 10. So your months are messed up. The first month of the calendar, according to the Goyim, is March. That's the first month. And it makes perfect sense because springtime is when you would start your calendar. That's when everything gets renewed. That's the Chodesh Ha'aviv. That's the Chodesh HaRishon, springtime. We're in March now. Nisan is tonight. March is the first month, and that's why September is the seventh month and December is the tenth month. So why is January the first month? I'm not sure it's a British king or whatever, but it has to do with Christianity. And because of Christianity and a Goyish religion, that's how somehow they distorted, made January, because of their theology and what have you, that became the first month. But I digress. I totally digress. I want to get back to this Ramban. So the Ramban says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. What is the pshat? So we count our months also to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's, why is Nisan the first month? It's the first month, Ligeula. And the month after that, Iyar, is the second month. It's Chodesh HaSheni, Ligeula. Sivan is Chodesh HaShlishi, Ligeula. And every single time, says the Ramban, you use those months, that's a kiyum of a mitzvah d'oraisa, of Zecher liYitzias Mitzrayim, of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is every single day of the week. Once a year, we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, but every single day of the calendar, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We fulfill that in Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema, but fundamentally, the months are there to highlight that point. The Ramban then says something incredible, which is debatable, but still incredible. So how come then today we use these different names? We use Nisan, we use Sivan, we use Iyar. Why do we use these other names? So says the Ramban, is that once we were taken out of Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon HaChodesh, etc. And then we were, unfortunately, we went back to Golus. We were sent out of Eretz Yisrael, and we were in Golus, and the Golus, the first Golus, was Golus Bavel. And then, after 70 years of Golus, we came back to Eretz Yisrael. We were once again redeemed. So in the same way that the names of the months in the Torah hearken us back to the Geula of Mitzrayim, so we carry forward the names, the Babylonian names of the months, to, in a certain sense, says the Ramban, remember, recall the Geula from Bavel. Again, one could debate that point, but that is what the Ramban writes, again, in Perek Yud Beis Halacha, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Beis in Sefer Shmos. So this is an interesting idea, tying together the mitzvah of Zachos Yom Shabbos Akacho with the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Ethan, you had a question. Which names? Never, ever, never, 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 never. No. It only says in the Sfarim, like in Megillas Esther, the Ramban points out, which is after Golus Bavel, there it'll use Chodesh Adar. It uses some of those months, and again to highlight the fact that there was a Geula from Bavel. But it does not. You will not find those names at all in the Chumash. Okay, let's see. I'll make one or two.
We're using the wrong months to highlight our Geula.
Unfortunately, we're still in Gullus Romi. That's the problem. But could be. Okay, let me just let's. I'm opening up a Mishnah Berurah now. Shulchan Aruch, a couple of halachos, and then we'll pick it up. Mitzvah Hashem. If you guys are on board with me, I'm gonna be. We'll continue tomorrow, and I'm considering a late night sicha tomorrow night. Considering. I'll see if I can pull it off. We'll be in touch. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch Simin Reish Nun, I believe. So the Mechaber introduces us to the din of Kavod Shabbos, and he says as follows: good to know, gentlemen. When you're in yeshiva, what's the day of the week that you wake up latest?
Friday.
Very good. So the Mechaber says, Yashkim baboker b'yom shishi. Friday you should be your earliest day to wake up. You should wake up early in the morning on Friday. Why? Lahachin sarche Shabbos. To go ahead and start preparing yourself for Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah makes a couple of interesting points over here. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's better to do your Shabbos shopping on Friday than Thursday. Better on doing the Hachanos on Friday than on Thursday or on Wednesday. Many of us cannot do that. We cannot pull it off. It's too much going on in life. But Mi'ikra din, it's better. Why is it better? Because when you do it closer to Shabbos, when you do it on Friday, it's Nikar. It becomes crystal clear, it becomes evident that you're doing it Lichvot Shabbos. When you go shopping on Tuesday or Wednesday, so you're buying for the week. You're not necessarily buying for Shabbos. There's an idea of having a heker, identifying that it is being done Lichvot Shabbos. He also says that when you go to the store, you go to the Makolet on a Friday afternoon, you buy some Nash, you buy something, you should go to the shelf and say out loud, Zehu Lichvot Shabbos. You should proclaim that you're doing it Lichvot Shabbos, ki hadibur hu poel harbe bigdusha, because dibur can instill greater senses of Kedusha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes Shammai and Hillel that we mentioned in the Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah says that even though we paskin like Hillel, not that Shammai is incorrect, there is an idea of all week long thinking about and identifying Shabbos. And now I just want to read one more halacha to set us up, Emir Tzashem, for tomorrow's discussion. So the Mechaber then writes as follows: Vafilu yeshlo kama avadim. Even if a person has many servants, he has a lot of household help, l'sham shemo, he can do a lot of people can help him out, yishtadel, he should do everything he can, l'hachin ba'atzmo, he should mishtadel l'hachin ba'atzmo, shum dover l'tzorche Shabbos kedei l'chavdo, he should do at least some of the Shabbos preparations by himself. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara, it's found again in Maseches Shabbos Kuf Yates, also echoed in the beginning of the second paragraph of Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara there says, Ki Rav Chizda, the great Amora Rav Chizda, having mechatech hayadak, he would prepare the salad. He would cut the vegetables. That was his job in his house. The Rab of Rav Yosef, those Amoraim, hayu mevakim eitzim. They would chop the wood for the fire where the food would be cooked. Rav Zera haya madlik ha'esh, he would kindle the wood. That was his job. The Rav Nachman haya metakin habayis, he would clean the house. He would make sure that everything got swept. Umachnis kelim hatzrichim l'Shabbos. He would bring in the Shabbos vessels, the Shabbos kelim. Umefana klechol. He'd get rid of the klechol, set the table with the Shabbos kelim, and these were the Amoraim. If the Amoraim were doing the work on their own, not relying on the wife, not relying on the household help, not relying on the daughters, did it themselves. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Umehem yilmod kol adam. Every person should learn from these Amoraim. Velo yomar. And he shouldn't say, Lo efgon bikvodi, this is beneath my kavod, to have to do this by myself. It's not mechubet for me to do the sweeping, for me to make the beds. That's for someone else to do. Ki zeh hu kvodo. That is the greatest of kavod. Shemechaber ha-Shabbos. That's the lashon of the mechaber. But we're going to leave you with a question. And the answer is going to be obvious, but again, it's something that's worth some serious development. And that is as follows. If I were to ask you, is Kavod Shabbos fundamentally, really, 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 is it a mitzvah or is it really a hechsher mitzvah? What do you say? Hechsher mitzvah or mitzvah? Well, I'll tell you what I want you to say. I want you to say it's fundamentally a hechsher mitzvah. You can't have a proper Shabbos if you haven't prepared the food, if you haven't set the beds, if you haven't set the tables, you can't go into Shabbos properly. So fundamentally, Kavod Shabbos, the hachanas of Shabbos are there as a hechsher mitzvah to make sure that Shabbos is ready to go. And if it's just a hechsher mitzvah, I can name a lot of hechsher mitzvahs out there. For example, buying a lulav and esrog. Is that a mitzvah or a heksher mitzvah? Excellent question. A heksher mitzvah is preparation for a mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah, it's mitzvah prep. It's to make sure that when the mitzvah comes around, you are ready fully to take care of the mitzvah. So buying a lulav and esrog, heksher mitzvah or mitzvah? What do you say? Heksher mitzvah. I think the mitzvah is to shake and bake. The mitzvah is to shake. The mitzvah is netilas lulav, to take the lulav, to go ahead and buy the lulav. Buying the lulav, you can't take the lulav, it has to be yours. So you can't take the lulav if you haven't bought the lulav. So you have to buy the lulav, but that's l'chora a heksher mitzvah. What about building a sukkah? Would you say building a sukkah before sukkahs is a mitzvah or a heksher mitzvah? Who said? The correct answer, I think, ought to be, it's a heksher mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of sukkah? To sit in a sukkah, yeshiva basukkah. Building of this, you can't sit in a sukkah if you haven't built a sukkah. So building a sukkah is a necessary prerequisite, but that's a heksher mitzvah. We generally assume la halacha, one second, Aaron. We generally assume la halacha that a heksher mitzvah is not a mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah, then I understand the importance of doing it by yourself. That I get. If it's a mitzvah, then don't rely on a household help. Don't rely on the wife. Don't rely on the kids. After all, mitzvah bo yotem bishlucha. But if the whole thing is a heksher mitzvah, is a preparation in order to do the mitzvah, so then we shouldn't be saying mitzvah bo yotem bishlucha. Go ahead, have someone do it for you. Can I have someone buy lulav for me and I'll shake the lulav as long as I pay for it? Does that work? Hello? That works. Should it work? If I hire someone to build my sukkah, should that work, lichora? It should work, lichora. I'm going to show you it doesn't work, but it should work. It should work, lichora. Heksher mitzvah, anyone could do that. And therefore, I want to leave you with the following question, and I'll take your questions in a moment. Why is it that Kavod Shabbos is not a mere heksher mitzvah? A heksher mitzvah, then I can have the household help, you know, do the Kavod Shabbos. Once it's a mitzvah, then it rises to a different level. Then we're going to say mitzvah bo yotem shlucha, and that's what I want to start discussing mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. Who has questions? Aaron Heller, do you have something? That's a great question. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to develop the idea that there are two types of heksher mitzvah. Sometimes a heksher mitzvah gets organically developed and melded into the mitzvah itself. And sometimes the heksher mitzvah is a pure heksher mitzvah. And again, we'll discuss, that's what I wanted to talk about tomorrow. Anyone else? Aaron Tager, where are you? Great. Isaac? Isaac? Well, you could, but it would be a diminished kiyum. In other words, if you wouldn't have food, if you wouldn't have a nice house, you know, you wouldn't have neiro, you wouldn't have light there for Shabbos, you would be not showered, etc. There would be a diminished kiyum for sure. I think it would be a diminished kiyum of Shomer too. Even for example, if you don't make your bed, you don't set the table, you're going to set the table, but you're going to set the table on Shabbos. So that's impinging on, you know, it's not just, there's a chisaron of Shabbos by having to set the table on Shabbos itself, by having to take care of the last minute things you take care of before Shabbos, you take care of those on Shabbos, that diminishes Shabbos itself. Will? That's true. That the Mekadesh of Shabbos, that's true. The Gemara tells us that Shabbos is Kitshav Akaima. The Mekadesh of Shabbos, even if we didn't keep Shabbos would have an inherent Kedusha. That's true. But that doesn't mean we don't have a mitzvah of greeting Hashem. In other words, Hashem is still coming to us. There is a Kedusha to the Yom HaShvi. That doesn't impact this idea that that Hashem is coming to us and we are greeting Him Kiviyachol. No get to this point. Okay. Anyone else? Last, Joey, is that you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. In terms of getting into the mindset, Shabbos on Shabbos, halachically into the
mindset. So, Joey, you can listen to your music, no problem.